I am very happy to welcome Louise Penny to the studio tonight. She's the author of the New York Times bestselling and much-loved Armand Gamache novels. Set in Three Pines, a fictional village in Quebec, she has enough awards to fill several mantles, I'm sure, including being made a member of the Order of Canada, Canada's highest civilian honor, for her outstanding achievement, dedication to the community, and service to the nation. Her latest novel, Kingdom of the Blind, offers up her inimitable combination of suspense, deepened with a bit of poetry, wit, mouth-watering food, and a cast of characters we feel we know. Louise, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So things took an interesting turn in the previous novel, Glass Houses. Armand, who is the head of Sûreté in Quebec, did a very daring thing in trying to bring down a drug cartel. So tell us how that has influenced him in this novel.
Well, in order to try to bring down this cartel, he had to let some opioids onto the market. And it was an excruciating choice that he had to make. And he made it, but he knows that they're deadly and that if he doesn't get them back, it could cost tens of thousands of lives. And because he did that, he was suspended. He was the superintendent, the head of the Sûreté du Québec, of the entire police force. And they suspended him pending an investigation, which he expected would happen. But the investigation is going on and on and on. And so there's some questions as to, like, what's the issue here? Like, fire me or hire me, but why is it dragging on so long? So we find him when Kingdom of the Blind starts, suspended, but also trying to quietly and surreptitiously get these drugs back.
So you are never one to leave us with just one plot. And Armand has been named what we would call an executor of a will of somebody he doesn't know.
I wasn't actually going to write a book this year. I was going to take a year off because my husband passed away. And I think many people listening have experienced the same thing. You have to regroup. You have to not only get over the grief and that howl in the head and your heart, but readjust life as a single person. So I thought I needed a year to just take a deep breath. And my publishers were wonderful. And, you know, I owe so much to these characters and to the setting that I never want it to become like a sausage factory and just churning them out because I have to, because I don't have to. I do it because I love doing it. So I took a deep breath, took some time off. But then after about 6 months, I realized that I actually really, really want to write. And I had a story to write. And it actually came out of being one of the, in Quebec, we call them liquidators. But yeah, it's in the rest of the world, it's an executor. I was one of the executors of Michael's will. And the accountant at one stage, we were chatting about executors, and he said, you know, anybody can be. You can name anybody, anybody. And I said, you can't. No, that can't be true. Surely they have to sign off. They have to agree. You have to get some sort of agreement. He said, no, you can name the Pope, the Queen, the President, anyone you want. It doesn't mean they'll do it, but you can name anyone. And so you're right. The book starts with Armand discovering that he has been named an executor or a liquidator in the will of this elderly woman he's never met. And not only has he never met them, none of the executors had met this woman. So part of the issue is, how did she know that they exist? And why did she choose these particular three people?
And she is a cleaning lady, but she's known as the Baroness. She refers to herself as the Baroness.
That's right. And the family is always, and everybody who she cleaned for, just assumed that it was a quirk of her character that she wanted to be known as the Baroness. And she leaves just an incredible amount of very odd things. The stipulations in her will are eccentric in the extreme. And they suspect that she was probably not quite well when she made the will. But then certain things happen and Armand and the others have to rethink some of that and figure, well, maybe she was sincere in what she's left.
We have these characters that you love, as you say. Jean-Guy Beauvoir is Armand's second in command, but also his son-in-law. And then some of my favorites, there's Myrna Landers, who's a retired therapist, and she owns the bookstore.
Yes.
And of course, how could we forget the cantankerous poet, Ruth. Want to tell us who her pet is?
Ruth has a pet duck who has quite a foul mouth. But really, the duck is symbolic, as most of many of the issues in the Three Pines, the village is a symbol. It's an allegory. And the books are about many things. They're absolutely proudly crime novels, murder mysteries. But the crime is really the vehicle to explore all sorts of other human traits. The question of belonging, of friendship, of community, of home, of yearning for home, of finally finding home and how precious it is and what do we do when it's threatened. But also love, love in all of its forms, heterosexual, man and woman, friendship and the love that Myrna and Clara, two friends, have, Gabrielle and Olivier, a gay couple, but also the love that this crazy old woman has for the duck. This is actually a love story, and it was important for me that it be reflected. Anyone who has a pet understands that love, and it's profound.
I'm thinking about these characters, and I'm thinking about how, as humans, one hopes we grow and change with our friends, with our loved ones. As the creator of these folks, what's the balance between keeping them as we love them, but not making them sausages, as you said? So, is it a pretty subtle thing that they change over time?
That's a wonderful question. And it's certainly, this is number 14 in the series. And it's something that is a struggle because I don't want to inadvertently become predictable, fall into a pattern, end up writing the same book over and over again. So every book needs to be different, not only in plot, but also in tempo, in theme, in structure. I hope I'm becoming a better writer, but also the characters evolve. But when people are returning, they need to be recognizable. They're the same people.
Right.
Like I'm the same person I was 10 years ago, but I have grown and evolved because of the experiences. What I love about writing a series is that the experiences the characters have had in the past reverberate through the series, that there is a knock-on effect, that they cannot go through the things that they go through. They can't see the things that they see. They can't experience what they've experienced and not have it affect them. But at the same time, it's really important for me that someone be able to pick up Kingdom of the Blind as the very first book that they've read in the series and have it be a complete experience and not have them say, well, who's this character? What are they talking about? So trying to give enough backstory so that you're not baffled, but not so much that it ruins what's happened in the past.
Yes, yes.
It is a challenge.
You write suspense novels so well that sometimes I really do have to say, breathe, Barbara, breathe, as we're getting toward the end of the novel. Nevertheless, there is a sign in your, I assume it's in your home, maybe it's your studio. It reads, Nolle Timere, which translates to, don't be afraid. What inspired you to have this in your home, in your life?
Fear has played quite a role in my life since I was a child for reasons I don't understand. I was born afraid. I was afraid of everything. And I was, thank God, never given a reason to be afraid. It's a thief. If you're afraid of failure, if you're afraid of the judgment of others, if you're afraid of disappointing people, it can paralyze you. And it did for many years. I always wanted to be a writer since the age of 8, but my first book wasn't published till I was 45 because I was afraid. I was afraid to try to write and fail. And suppose then I would lose my dream and I wouldn't be a writer. And I finally reached a certain age and I thought, I am not going to reach the end of my days never having tried to do the one thing I know I was put on this earth to do because I'm afraid. So that's why Nolle Timere resonated with me. It's actually the last words of the poet Seamus Heaney, who said it to his wife on his deathbed, be not afraid. And so I had a poster made and framed it, and it's where I write. It's actually in the living room, but I write in the living room, right in front of me where I see it every day because I have to remind myself to not be superficial. Don't just take the easy way with these characters, but dig deep. Look at issues that I'm not sure what the answer is. Put Armand in a situation where I don't know what the right answer is. As I get older, there's much more gray.
Yes.
There's a lot of light, there's a lot of dark, but gosh, there's a lot of gray. So just really look hard at these issues and don't skim across the surface of things.
You share with us, your readers, very generously and open-heartedly in the acknowledgments at the end of Kingdom of the Blind. And you mentioned this when we first started, your husband, Michael, was the model for Armand Gamache. And so you had a period of time where, my words, not yours, but it seems essentially Armand died with Michael. And so then one day, what happened?
It's such an interesting thing when your soulmate dies, whether it's Armand or whoever. I was afraid that love would also die with him. He had dementia. Michael had dementia. So it was a long time coming, which was in many ways, it's a selfish thing to say, but for me, it was a blessing. I was able to keep him at home and we were very, very lucky. I could just slowly say goodbye to him slowly, the classic with dementia. But I was afraid because our Ma and Michael were so intertwined that once he died that I would lose our Ma as well. And the desire to write, that I would just be consumed by the sadness and lose that voice. But I wasn't. The beauty is what happened was about 6 months in, I found myself sitting down and yearning to be not only in our Ma's company, but in Three Pines with the company of all of these characters I've stopped actually seeing as characters. And realizing that, in fact, far from dying, what has happened is Michael is now immortal. Michael will live forever. Michael will outlive me in Armand. And that's an incredible blessing for me. So I wrote Kingdom of the Blind with just immense joy.
I know that grief brings up many emotions, but I was wondering if writing Armand, keeping him alive, is there solace in that also?
Yeah, there is. There is. Yeah, Armand is based on many people, not solely Michael, but he has a lot of the qualities that Michael had. Certainly writing while Michael was declining was an immense solace because anyone who's been through Alzheimer's, Michael didn't have Alzheimer's, he had another form of dementia, knows it can be chaos. The ground is shifting under you all the time. Just as you get used to one form of behavior, it changes. Then you have to adjust and you have to be calm, remain calm, because this person isn't doing what they're doing out of choice. I'm the only one with a choice. But it's exhausting. So for me to be able to go into this world that I love, that is calm, and where I had a certain amount of control, I think that helped. But it was more than that. It was visiting friends in an atmosphere that was very calm. I hear from readers, and it's a marvelous feeling about their experience and the comfort they get from reading these books and visiting Three Pines and being in the company of Armand and the others. And that always has meant so much to me, but I never dreamed that I would experience the same comfort writing the books that they experience reading the books. So it's a terrific community that has formed.
I want to close with the last lines from your acknowledgments, which are, we're very fortunate, aren't we? We found each other in Three Pines. And I want to say, yes, we are fortunate. Thanks for welcoming us in. Thanks for being here tonight. So good to talk with you.
It's lovely. Thank you, Barbara.
I've been talking with Louise Penny about her latest Armand Gamache novel. It is titled Kingdom of the Blind. You will find more information about it at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.